Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
It all happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and 10 days after he had ascended into heaven, Pentecost. Jesus had promised to his apostles, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The apostles obeyed Jesus' instructions to stay in Jerusalem till the day he would send the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." One of the major festivals celebrated by the Jews was the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50th. The 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover week, thus the first day of the week, namely Sunday. Pentecost is also called in the Old Testament the Feast of the Weeks, and the Feast of the Harvest, and the Day of the First Fruits. The feast lasted 7 days. Pentecost was the dearest feast of the pilgrims because of the mild weather, which allowed them to set up and stay in tents. On that Sunday, they were all together in one place. Who were they? It could have been the 120 believers mentioned before, including the apostles. However, the text suggests the 12 apostles rather than a bigger group. They were all together in fellowship and worship. They were in one place in Jerusalem, possibly the building containing the upper room where they were staying. Some interpreters suggest the temple courts where the crowds could easily gather. We don't know for sure. While they were all together, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. A sound. An echoes. It was not a wind as such, but an echo of something like the blowing of a violent wind. An inexplicable sound. A miracle. In Scripture, breath or wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Spirit is marked by an audible sound. The sound filled the whole house where they were sitting. The sound was heard by many outside the house as if inviting them to enter. Besides, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It was not real fire as we know it, but what seemed to be tongues of fire. The fire fittingly appears as tongues of flame, since the Holy Spirit works through the apostles' speech. Apart from the audible sign, the sound, now appears a visible sign, tongues of fire. The main feature of the event is pointed out. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the true miracle of Pentecost. The promise of Jesus is fulfilled. The spirits of the apostles were under the control of the Spirit. Their words were the words of the Spirit. The anointing with the Holy Spirit brings a startling transformation. The Spirit never becomes a personal possession, but remains a heavenly gift received by the repentant sinner through faith. From that day onward, the apostles overcame their fear, became bold, opened the doors, and witnessed to Jesus. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That was a miraculous ability to communicate in foreign languages the apostles had never learned before. The Jews had been submitted to several dispersions, and others had voluntarily migrated to other countries in order to find living means. Many of those who had been scattered came back and settled in Jerusalem. Consequently, the author of the book of Acts refers to them and also to pilgrims who came to join in the Pentecost feast. When they heard the sound like the blowing of a violent wind, they came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. That was a crowd of at least 3,000 people who ran to see what was happening. God brought the people together to hear His word. These miraculous events are God's extended appeal for Israel to receive Jesus as their Messiah and to become part of the new Israel, the Church. They were bewildered, hearing the gospel in their own language. Jews from different parts of the world would understand the Aramaic language of their homeland. Also, the Greek language was common to all parts of the world. But at this occasion, something else was taking place. They heard the apostles speaking in languages native to the different places represented. So, no wonder they were bewildered, because there is no human explanation for the event except taking it as a miracle. The origins of the crowd of Pentecost are mentioned in detail. There were Parthians, inhabitants of the territory from the Tigris to India. There were Medes. Media lay east of Mesopotamia, northwest of Persia, and south-southwest of the Caspian Sea. There were Elamites. Elam was north of the Persian Gulf, bounded on the west by the river Tigris. There were people from Mesopotamia, between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. There were people from Judea, the homeland of the Jews, which here perhaps means from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, including Galilee. There were people from Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia. All these were districts in Asia Minor. There were people from Egypt, also from Cyrene, the capital of the district of Libya. There were visitors from Rome. There were Cretans. They represented an island lying south-southeast of Greece. And there were Arabians from a region to the east. This is impressive. A vast number of countries and nationalities were represented at Pentecost. All of them heard with amazement and perplexity in their language the wonders of God. Once more in history, God proved to be faithful in fulfilling the promise to send the Messiah and the Holy Spirit. They witnessed a miracle. Therefore followed the question, what does this mean? This extraordinary work of God needed explanation, which Peter will give in the following speech. Others, however, reacted with mockery and said, they are filled with new wine. Just as some rejected the earthly Jesus, so mockers and skeptics have always dismissed the message of Jesus. God continues to send His Holy Spirit to people by means of the preaching of the gospel and the administration of holy baptism and holy communion. Jesus commissioned His church to go into the whole world and to preach the gospel to all creation. We can be grateful to God that His gospel is being brought to us right now in our own language. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel in our heart, creating and sustaining the true faith in Jesus, forgiving us our sins, strengthening us in love, and enabling us to serve God and our neighbor in our daily vocations. At the same time we benefit from the preaching of the gospel, we also do well supporting the missionary work of the church to make the gospel available to our neighbors, to our country, and to the world in the languages people understand. Pentecost happens all the time in our lives when the Holy Spirit does His work. Pentecost happens all the time in the lives of people wherever they are in the world when the Holy Spirit touches their hearts through the gospel.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Immediately after the miracle of Pentecost, Peter addressed the crowds. This is what we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter takes the lead and becomes the spokesman for the 12 apostles. He answers the question raised by the people who had witnessed the miracle of Pentecost. What does this mean? Peter explains. First, he addresses the accusation made by some mockers that they were drunk. It's not the case, he says. It's only the third hour of the day, that is, 9 o'clock in the morning, the hour of prayer and sacrifice at the temple. On the festival day, a Jew would not break his fast until at least 10 in the morning. So it was extremely unlikely for a group of men to be drunk at such an early hour. Since Peter is speaking to Jews, he quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel chapter 2 verses 28 to 32. Through the prophet, God had promised to pour out in the last days His Holy Spirit on all flesh. On Pentecost, God fulfilled His promise to give His people not only things, but Himself in the third person of the Godhead. God's salvation is for all people. It is universal in scope. He pours out the Spirit on people of different ages and in all kinds of vocations, including male servants and female servants, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, like the Apostle Paul, like you and me. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not retained by God for a selected bunch of privileged people. Rather, this gracious and precious gift is meant for every person. In the last days, God also promised to show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. He says, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day." The arrival of the last days began in the earthly life of Christ and continued here in Acts. These wonders and signs will culminate when Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. Most comforting is the statement that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ, granted by the Holy Spirit, leads to salvation. Continuing his speech, the Apostle Peter said the following words registered in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 36. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Peter focuses on the Messiah whom God sent, Jesus of Nazareth. Though a humble man from an insignificant place, Jesus was a man accredited by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs which the audience had heard of and knew. God richly supplied Jesus' credentials in his works. The mighty works done by Jesus were signs that the Messiah had come. This very Jesus, the Jews, with the help of wicked men, put to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter employs very strong language. Peter told the listeners that they played a decisive role in Jesus' death. And so did we, with our sins. However, Jesus' sacrifice served God's plan to redeem the human race. Jesus was killed, but that was not his end. Peter emphatically states that God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Jesus' resurrection is stressed time and again in the book of Acts. Death was overcome by life. Martin Luther writes, "Christ came back to life, and this became an opportunity for life, which before had been an opportunity for death. In this way, death has become the door to life for us. This grace has become the elevation to glory, condemnation and hell the door to salvation. And this has happened through Christ, who was sinless." The risen Savior, Lord and Victor over death, is the heart of the Christian gospel and the Christian faith. By his resurrection from the dead, the Old Testament prophecies of King David registered in Psalm 16 came true. David rejoiced in the fact that death is not the end of hope. Rather, in Christ Jesus, there is a resurrection and life, because he himself came back to life. Peter makes a few comments on the patriarch David. "He died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day," says Peter. The tomb of David could be seen in Jerusalem. It still contained the remains of David's body. David was one of the prophets to whom God swore to place one of his descendants on his throne, namely the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Through divine revelation, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ rose indeed, and the Apostle Peter and others became witnesses of his resurrection. They saw him several times, touched him, and heard him speaking. Peter also refers to Jesus' exaltation when he ascended into heaven and now reigns victoriously at the right hand of God the Father. This Jesus, who was crucified by men, God exalted to be Lord of all. What impact, if any, did Peter's sermon have on the audience? The answer is given in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The word of God preached by Peter reached the hearts of the audience. They were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit did His work. This reaction reflects both belief in Jesus and regret over former rejection. Now the audience called Peter and his colleagues brothers. This shows how Peter and the Spirit won the empathy of the listeners. They asked, "What shall we do?" The preaching of the law, the disclosure of sins, and the consequences that follow raise this question. What is the answer? Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." In other words, recognize your desperate state, confess your sins, and be washed by God through baptism. Baptism is much more than just applying water and saying a few words. Baptism is into Christ, to be joined to the Savior and to take part in His death and resurrection. Jesus is the one who forgives sins. One of the main blessings of baptism is forgiveness of sins. Furthermore, through baptism the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit works through baptism and produces faith in a person. By faith in Jesus, a person receives forgiveness as a gift. Peter expands his thought, saying that the blessings of faith, forgiveness, and salvation are not only for his audience, but for their children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This places us in the picture. God is gracious to all people, regardless of age or race. Peter closes his address with a warning: "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Not all among the listeners repented. There always are in the crowds those who reject God's love. Besides, at that time, there were many other people outside the Christian circle who were enemies of Christ and of His followers. The persecution which followed proves the fact. Those who accepted the message preached by Peter were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Not all believed. However, those who did believe and were baptized totalized about 3,000. What a stunning growth of the church! Rejoice that God pours out His Spirit in the gospel and baptism and multiplies His blessings to us in daily repentance and forgiveness.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.